Well, my artist name is Zeitwarp, but my real name is Dan Quill, and I'm here to display one of my pieces at Computala. And, you know, it's nice to be invited to come and show something, and it's basically a 7-foot-high installation called Do Androids Dream of Electric Noise, number 9. And you can't miss it when you come in, because it's the big blue figure sitting on top of a pair of Bang & Olufsen tuners from the 1970s in the corner.
With a keyboard.
The keyboard, yeah. I mean, you know, how into music is everyone? Remake, remodel is kind of an overarching philosophy of my work. And the idea is that everything is a salvaged or recycled, repurposed or remixed piece. So everything in the installation is something that either I owned, it was in my studio, or was in my family possession, or something I've come across. And the keyboard was actually a home electronic keyboard from, I think, the 70s. It's a Goodwin keyboard, sort of thing that you can, you know, find anywhere now on eBay for almost no money, or wherever you find your salvaged audio equipment. And we harvested the parts out of it to use. My son's a jazz musician, experimental musician, and we took the reverb out of it. We took the I'm trying to think what it's called, the rotating speaker. We took that out of it. And I kept the keyboards. I thought, I'm going to do something one of these days with them. And I basically just chopped it up, took the bits out that I wanted. And that's actually a keyboard that was in my family's possession for 20 or 30 years. And it's now sitting in LCB Depot as part of this exhibition, sitting on top of the kind of Android, the cyberpunk Android Ozymandias Prometheus figure that's in the corner of the room.
So it's very visual. Is there an audio component to it?
There actually isn't this time. Most of my work has always been kind of like multi-form. So there'll be digital. There's a digital element to it, which is not here. There's a there's always an immersive part of it, some sort of augmented reality activation. And sound art has always been a real feature, but actually in this piece, no, there isn't. I mean, in all the other sort of Do Androids series, it's been focused around music. This is actually a commentary really about human music or human culture in the machine age, or the kind of Promethean tension between culture and humanity and technology. And it's actually just what you can see there, although there is some lighting underneath, but that doesn't really count.
If I said it was quite up front, yeah. And it doesn't seem to have hidden, does it have a subtext?
My work is post-conceptual. And what I mean by that, I'm trying to hit you over the head and make a point. Or rather, that's not entirely true. I'm not trying to force you to accept my point. I'm trying to invite people to consider certain things. The background to the series is that I was in Lisbon in 2022, giving a presentation at a tech conference about generative AI. And this was 2 months before ChatGPT had landed, and it was what I sometimes refer to as the summer of DALL-E 2. And everybody who had access was kind of generating images as they continue to do now. And it seemed that there was some kind of big moment was about to happen where generative AI was going to launch upon an unsuspecting human cultural landscape. And, I was joking with somebody. We were on a panel talking about future music, and I was reminded of how, Facebook had run these experiments with chatbots that had stopped, they shut it down because they started conversing in a language that was more convenient to them. And Terry Matthew at Five Mag had published an article sort of saying something like the future of streamonomics will be bot listeners listening to generative AI music, and the only human interaction will be your monthly subscription fee, which I thought was a great comment. And someone asked me about the future of streaming, and I said something like, well, I guess what I'm thinking is, and the question ultimately is, do androids dream of electric noise? Which is obviously a jokey reference to the Philip K. Dick novel that inspired Blade Runner. But the key to it for me was, why make human audible music if it's basically going to be produced by bots for and listened by bots? or produced by generative AI and listened to by bots, they don't actually need to make human audible music, you know, anymore. I mean, you know, and so it was a throwaway comment, but then it was became the kind of first line in a, I was working on something called Homo Trans Retro at the time, which again for another exhibition in Lisbon, and it became the first time that I was thinking about displacement and, you know, human displacement, cultural displacement, and the idea that the kind of science fiction dystopia of the AI singularity was always held as this kind of thing that was going to happen to humanity. And, you know, it's a genuine threat, you know, but the trick is you have to lean into your humanity, whether that's your uniqueness or your ingenuity. And you have to make yourself, you know, unfortunately, you can either play the attention trade or you have to make yourself into this kind of more human version of yourself that is important to other humans, in my view. But really, I want people to consider the fact that they have agency in the present over what happens in the future, their own agency. And, you know, without getting into the kind of like sci-fi tropes, the future is unwritten.
Where can anybody find out more information about you?
I'm not very active on social media anymore. There's very good reasons for that. I should say centralized social media. You know, it seems like, well, kind of talking of dystopias, kind of, and I've chosen to not prioritize it. The best place to go is to my website, which is zeitwarp.com, which is ZEITWARP.com. I run a monthly newsletter, which is updates people on what exhibitions, where they are, long form reading, all that sort of thing. But that's really my focus now, is on my own platform, is a horrible word for it. But, you know, I've been doing this a while. I have a decent audience of people. And, you know, I like to speak to them rather than have that mediated, which is a throwback to the hack and buy thing again, by an external platform. And I appreciate it's 10 out of 10 for integrity and 0 out of 10 for commercial sense for the kind of modern artist or the modern, you know, anyone within culture. They seem like necessary evils, but it might be that they are just evils. And so, yes, socials, I'm not very active there. Passive, but not active.
No, unfortunately, I'm not going to be here. Which is a shame. Ooh, this could be just about right.
That looks great.
So I'm Sean Clark. I'm a digital artist based here in Leicester. In fact, here in the LCB. I have a space upstairs. I'm involved in this event here called Computala, which is organised by New Media Art Club, as an artist and a teacher. So I'm doing a number of things over the next couple of weeks, part of the exhibition. I have my own piece of work, which is called Computational Constructs, which you might be able to hear twittering away in the background. And then I'm also teaching an Arts Award course, where we're going to be looking at the use of AI to control an artwork. And this is quite interesting because we're going to be using something called a microbit, very accessible piece of technology. And I'm going to be teaching 10, 14-year-olds how to make something with AI, which maybe you think isn't really possible, but it is.
What are you looking forward to seeing over the next couple of weeks?
So I think what a New Media Art Club put together is an interesting programme. So I think you'll get the most out of it by engaging with the programme. So come to the exhibition and do what I'm about to do, which is to walk around and make your own mind up about what the connections are. If you can, enter into a dialogue with some of the artists. I think a lot of them are on Instagram and they'll certainly be available. So don't treat it as like something that you look at it and that's the end. Interact with people. And then some of the events that are happening, there have been workshops, there's a boot camp. And then at the end of the month, as part of last Friday, there's an event, whereas I think Leonie de Barriguer is organising it as part of her ceremony series, where there will be performances, I think, based on what's happening in the month. And I'm giving a performance of the artwork. So the artwork and the performance becomes an instrument. And I'll play the artwork live in a way that I'm not completely sure about yet. I need to work on that. But it will be a performance of the artwork. And again, that is a great opportunity to be part of an event where I can do that. So I think for me, what I'm looking forward to, feedback on my own work, looking at the other work, thinking about the ideas that people are coming up with, having some good conversations, talking to people, and then having this performance at the end, and then thinking about it as a program. And of course the workshops, as I'm doing some workshopping, I'm looking forward to tomorrow doing this little mini AI workshop as part of the second Saturday, and then we have our Arts Award, which there's still places for, so if people should contact us and maybe get involved. This is for younger people to do a more formal investigation of this tech and have some fun. And then there are other things happening. Yeah, it's going to be a good month.
Hi, I'm Florencia, or Flor del Fuego. That's my artistic name. I'm from Argentina, but I'm raised in Germany. Yes, we are here with Naoto as part of the exhibition, and we were in 2 days helping artists with a project. Maybe Naoto now will explain a bit more about it.
Yeah, so I'm Naoto. I'm originally from Japan, based in Estonia. Right now I'm doing research. And in my artistic practice, I do a lot of live coding, which is a practice to create images, sound, on the spot, instead of using like moving sliders or dropping images on the software. But we create from the scratch. We write programming code on the editor, and together with Flor, we have been working together for 5-6 years, and we embrace the idea of community driven open source, and making it possible for others, doing it together. So this bootcamp, 2 days, we had 3 other artists working together with us, Sean, Jash, and Shun. And basically this captures the philosophy of live coding and open source. So we gave tutorial from, so 3 of them, most of them didn't know Hydra live coding when they arrived. So we started from tutorials and we started from basics. And in the exhibition, what you will see is not a performance, it's not live coding performance, but you will see visuals, a lot of colors and glitches that are created during these 2-day boot camp, and we put them together as an interactive installation where you can explore these sketches we created.
And have you done work like this before, and how did you come to get into this line of doing things?
So we work a lot with Hydra, that is this visual environment software, and we did once an online workshop where we were, it was kind of a proof of concept, really, because it's not actually so much research or developed. So we were using another library that is a machine learning program for training. It's called Teachable Machine. So we were training data sets of, for example, for this case, images. And these images, the system can recognize an image, and this can, for example, evaluate and change the visuals that are in Hydra. So basically what we wanted was to develop this scene, that is this book with images and questions that we were thinking during these 2 days with the artist. And the scene responds also to the visuals, and the visuals responds to the scene, because there's this kind of dialogue. There's also this camera that is pointing to the scene. So what you see is also what is changing, and what you change is what you see.
Where can people find out more information about this?
Probably in the scene. And yes, also perhaps at the New Media Club webpage as well. Yeah.
There is a big QR code at the back of the zine, so you can scan it and you will land to the webpage where we have information about every artist participating, and also you can also print the PDF from that page, and you can make your own scene, and the whole system is made on as a web page, so you can open the same program on your desktop or laptop computer and try it at home as well.
I just want to say to everyone, thank you so much for coming to the opening tonight. The weather's obviously terrible. And
I'm Sean Carroll. I'm one of the two curators of the Robots for a Safer World exhibition that's happening at LCB throughout January. Robots for a Safer World originally was a government challenge for industry to find ways to automate the messy, uncomfortable and difficult parts of manual labour. With the rise of generative, specifically AI and what it means for artists, we wanted to put together an exhibition that kind of examines that from the perspective of artists. What does it mean to be able to automate the messy and the difficult parts of the work that we make and the practice? And what does it mean to have an assistant that can help us through all the difficult parts, you know? Is it exciting for an artist? Is it empowering, or does it take away some of the things that makes the work special? We don't have an opinion on that in this exhibition, but what we did want to do was put that out for a prompt, if you like, and see how artists responded to it. And it was really nice to see lots of very different work come back, you know. So we've got work that is we've got work that's cyber pets. There's some really interesting AI assisted puzzle games. But there's a beautiful video about a large language model that starts to write love letters and always gives up at the end because it realizes that it doesn't have anyone. There's a fantastic monologue in the exhibition. It's not a monologue. There's a fantastic dialogue in the exhibition by an artist who has created an AI from a huge archive of late father's writing and radio recordings, and has created an AI and is having, I guess, the first conversation with him since he's passed away. And it's very difficult to listen to, but it's important. And what that means to people is quite different things. People respond to that work particularly in very different ways. But it's an important conversation to have at this moment with AI, thinking about what it means for us and what the next couple of years are going to mean for culture and society. So we're very excited with the way that people have responded to it. And we're just very pleased with what's happening.
And what activities have you got coming up?
Yeah, so there's quite a bit happening at LCB over the month as part of it. Tomorrow we're having a kids launch, if you like, a kids day at the CQ Earlies. So we're going to be opening most of the exhibition for young people to have a look at and respond to and think about. There's going to be some kids workshops looking at BBC Microbit and some really simple machine learning algorithms that they can use to turn Microbit into things like magic wands or play catch with it. We also have some performances over the exhibition. So we have a workshop/performance with an artist called Mark Towers, where we'll be building a robot in the gallery that's going to be playing music for the rest of the exhibition. And we have a really exciting set of performances for our closing party with a local group called Ceremony, who are doing a night called Slop for us, where they've invited several artists to think about human-computer interaction in the way that they perform, how they could perform alongside computers or algorithms in different ways. And we're really excited also to see what they come back with.
And where can people find out more information?
Yeah, all the information is at computala.info or at newmediaart.club, or we're all over the Instagram and the LCB's social media as well. Have been really supportive, so you should be able to find us.
Tell us who you are and what you're doing here tonight.
My name's Savannah Irving and I'm an artist based in Leicester, and I have my work exhibited at the Computala exhibition.
Which one's yours?
Mine is the pink framed print towards the right, and then also the digital paper print as well.
And what drew you to exhibit into this?
I think it's kind of been hard to like maybe access spaces that are more focused around like new emerging media and like conversations around technology and AI and stuff like that, and that's kind of the direction that my practice is going in. And I've kind of always been fascinated around these like types of themes, and so it's nice to come to a space where there's people that have similar ideas to you and you can exhibit work and sort of meet new people. Yeah.
What are the kind of themes that you try and explore in your work?
Yeah, I mean, my most recent series of works is kind of based on natural forms, and starting with like still life photography of natural forms, and then taking it through like a very drawn out process of sort of like using different digital softwares such as Blender and like wrapping objects in my images, and kind of like deconstructing them. And I sort of found that like the images that I was creating kind of had like a AI uncanny like feel to them that I thought was quite interesting. And I'm kind of interested in like the way that kind of AI sort of meshes different images together through different reference points. And I thought that it's pretty ironic that I'm doing that as an artist with my own sort of archive of images. So, yeah.
What's that uncanniness? Explain what that is.
I don't know. It's like, it feels real, but it's also not real. Like, it's something that feels familiar, but isn't. There's something that's always slightly off with it. And I think with my process and, like, the images that I'm creating, there's a sense of, like, hyper-realism, but there's always something that's kind of surreal towards it. Yeah.
So what do you hope that when somebody's kind of viewing that in the context of the exhibition that they maybe take away from it?
I think, I guess with my work, I kind of like to push the boundaries of like the software that I'm using. And I think within this whole project, there's kind of been like this yearning to connect with nature, even though I live in the city. And like this collection of images that I've kind of taken and distorted has kind of been a way of maybe like reconnecting with nature in a sense, even though they're kind of two juxtaposing themes. I feel like they can exist in the same realm, and I feel like that's quite exciting. So
it's kind of, we've gone very far, you know, we've gone head first into technology, and we've that the opposite swing is to go back into nature, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's definitely a big urge for people to kind of go back into nature and explore the sublime, and sort of the effects and the senses and the shapes and forms found in nature. They're incredibly powerful. And I think that people maybe think that our like move towards technology is kind of taking away from that. But I think that like the two can kind of coexist. I think there can be balance between both, which is kind of what I'm trying to do in my practice, I guess. So, yeah.
And where can people find your work?
You can find my work on Instagram at bipp.mp4. Yeah.
That's a memorable handle. Great.
Yeah. But yeah, that's where you can find me mostly. And I think I've got my website linked in my bio on there as well. So, yeah. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Antonio Roberts, and I'm an artist based in Birmingham, and I'm here today to see the Computala exhibition.
And are you exhibiting?
No, I'm not exhibiting, but I am taking part in the performance, the closing performances, the slop, I think it's called, at the end of the month.
And so what's your take on what the exhibition's about?
I really like that it's, my take on the exhibition. At first, I was a bit apprehensive because I'm not a fan of AI, but I like, with its interpretation of AI, it isn't necessarily, I guess, like boosterism. It isn't just blind acceptance. There's some conceptual thinking around it, some critical, and yeah, I like everyone's interpretation of what AI is and how it can be used.
Any of it leave you confused?
Sorry?
any of it leave you confused? I think everybody who asks the question is like, kind of, usually it's like, what do you understand from it? And I think actually ask the question about confusion is always good.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it leaves me confused, because okay, being an artist who's involved with tech, I've seen a lot of AI stuff, but it more is like clarifying as to how artists are actually using it, because, you know, the idea of AI being able to generate anything that you want, but it's like, well, okay, as a creative person, how do you want to use it? And so this is just giving me some clarity on, like, you know, how people are thinking about it, really. So, yeah, more clarity it's given me, actually.
That process of clarification usually involves kind of burning things away, dissolving things. In your own work, what do you, you know, is the stuff that you take that you kind of think that, well, actually, we can get rid of this, we can dissolve it and not use it anymore?
Oh, that would just be computers overall, to be honest. I think as much as I use technology, I hate it for most of the time. But no, yeah, I think, again, it's kind of questioning the values of technology. And I think that's one thing I've seen just generally, especially with artists using technology, they're being more critical of, like, what is it I'm using? How does it affect the world I'm in and the world around me? So yeah, and for that reason, I see a bit more rejection of new things, not just blindly accepting new equals better. There is critical thinking behind it.
Haven't seen a number of different of the exhibits. Mm-hmm. Is there anything in there that you can say? Oh, yeah, usually you say I'll steal that or I'll borrow that, but it's what would inspire you?
Well, I'm a bit biased because I like the software Hydra, but definitely I like the Hydra visuals stuff because it's using machine learning to kind of like identify patterns within visuals and then respond to that. So yeah, I can see myself using some of those concepts in my own work, or like, you know, taking something away from that. But yeah, that would be the main one, I think.
And do you want to let people know where you can find your work?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Antonio Roberts, and I can be found online under the username HelloCatFood. No one else has got that username, so if you'd search it, you'd find me, trust me.